Today's daf is daf lamed tes amud aleph, and we'll begin with Gufa, which is six lines down from the top. And we're going back to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about two consecutive days of Kiddusha Sayom. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you have Shabbos and Yontif, smuchim zela zeh, Erev Baraglov Biyom Rishon, he can set up his Erev on the first day, and now on the second day, he wants to go Chutz L'Tchum, Erev Baraglov B'Sheni. So he again sets up his Erev, and he has to go back on the second day in order to set up his Erev for the second day. And this reflects the shita of shtei kedushos, that each day is a separate entity as far as kedusha, and it requires its own eruv. Eruv bepas biyom rishon, ma'ariv bepas biyom sheni. It would seem that Rabbi Yehuda is advocating that he used the same pas that he used on the first day on the second day. Erev bepas berishon ma'ariv beraglo b'sheni, or he has the alternative of not being ma'ariv bepas, but rather personally going out there to the tchum, being ma'ariv beraglov. And in all these cases, there's no iser of hachana. It's not that Yontif is being mechin for Shabbos, and we explained it earlier because hachana requires some sort of declaration that I'm doing today on Yontif for tomorrow for Shabbos. But here, there's no declaration that's necessary. He just puts down his eruv. It's not what you call nikar, and therefore there's no iser hachana. However, what happens in the following scenario? That's Rabbi Yehuda's question. Erev baragla barishon. Now, on the second day, he wants to set up his erev with a pas. And he says, ein ma'arvin bepas b'sheni, meaning on Friday, which is Yontif, he's not allowed to set up his erev with a pas. She'ein ma'arvin b'tchila bepas. Because this would be hachana. If he would prepare on Friday a pas as an erev for Shabbos, then in that scenario, his erev for the second day is going to require a declaration, a verbal pronouncement. He's going to have to say, I am Kona Shvisa. Meaning, if he uses the same pas for the second day that he used already yesterday for the first day, then he doesn't have to make any declaration. He just simply replaces the pas in the Eruv, and that's fine. He doesn't need to add any declaration, and therefore there's no Isra Achana. But if on the first day he was Ma'ariv B'Raglov, and now he's being Ma'ariv for the first time with the pas on Friday, Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, and now he has to make a declaration that he's being Kona Shvisa with this pas, then he violates the Isra Achana, and we have the principle of Ein Yontif Mechin L'Shabbos. The Gemara now clarifies Rav Yehuda's statement. Erev bepas b'yom rishon, ma'ariv bepas b'yom sheni, omer Shmuel b'yosa pas. Shmuel says that since on the second day, meaning on Friday for Shabbos, he is using the same exact pas that he used on Thursday for Yontif, therefore he doesn't require any declaration, and therefore there's no hachana. However, Shmuel says if he would use a second pas, a different piece of bread than he used for the first day, then he would require again a declaration that he wants to be Kona Shvisa with this pas, and that would be a violation of Hachana Miyontif L'Shabbos. Omer Ravashi, Ravashi wants to support Shmuel. Daikon Ami Masnisen. If we read the Mishnah very carefully, we'll see that it reflects this sheet of Shmuel. The Katani, it says in the Mishnah, which we had back on Daf Lamed Ches, Ketzaru Oseh, how does he set up an Erev for Yontif and Shabbos when they're contiguous one to the other? Molicho Barishon, he takes his pas out on the first day in order to be kona shvisa umachshich olav, and he waits until after darkness. At that point, he knows for sure that his eruv was kona shvisa for the entire yontif. Notlo, now he can take it. There's no iser of carrying on yontif. Uba, he comes lo lebeso, he comes to his house. Bisheni, on the second day, meaning on Friday for Shabbos, chozer, he goes back lemokum shvisasim apas umachshich olav. He goes back to the same, with the same pass, umachshich olav, and once again he has to wait until after chashecha because he has to guarantee that his eruv lasted; it didn't get blown away or stolen or eaten by an animal. And then he can't carry this eruv back to his house because it's Shabbos v'ochlo bolo, but he'll eat it right there. And it would seem from the language of the Mishnah that we're talking about the whole time the same pas, because we spoke about molicho, referring to the pas, and that's for the Rishon. And then we said vinotlo ubalo b'sheni. It sounds low, like he's taking the same exact pas. And that supports the sheet of Shmuel, that only if he uses the same pas, he could be ma'ar of the sheni. Again, he has another option. And that would be that he could be ma'arev baraglov for Shabbos. But if he's not ma'arev baraglov, then he wants to use a pas. He's going to have to use the same exact pas that he set up as an eruv for yontif on Thursday, so that now he doesn't have to make any declaration that hineni kona shvisasi b'pas zu, and therefore it's not considered a violation of the Yisra HaChonah. The Gemara now rejects the diuk from the Mishnah. Perhaps there's no proof from the Mishnah. Dilma hasav eitzah tova kamashmalon. The Mishnah is only telling us that it's a good idea that he shouldn't leave his pas in that same place over the course of yontif because he might lose his pas, and therefore he should take the pas back and replace it. But it doesn't mean that he actually has to replace it with the same exact pas. And now, Rabbosai, we're up to the Mishnah. And this Mishnah is so relevant, it's just amazing to me that we're reading this Mishnah today, which is a few hours before Erev Rosh Hashanah. So in order to give some background to Rosh Hashanah, let's mention that back in the day, they were Mekadesh L'Chodesh Al Pi Re'iyah. Beis Din would wait for two Eidim to come and tell us that they saw the Levana B'Chidusha, the new moon. And Beis Din shows up, and the Eidim show up in Bezna Gadol in the High Court of Israel, and there are two options. They can either show up on the 30th day of Chodesh Elul, and that would mean that that day itself becomes the first day, Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, and they're testifying on the 30th day that the night before, meaning after 29 days, they saw the Levana, which would make Chodesh Elul into what we call a chaser. It's made up of 29 days. The 30th day is already Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. The other possibility is that the Eidim did not come on the 30th day. Therefore, that 30th day is the last day of Chodesh Elul. Elul, therefore, is a mole. And the morning afterwards, which is day number 31, that automatically becomes Rosh Chodesh. Now, not everyone knew whether or not Beis Din had received the Eidus or not. So when the 30th day came, they had to be worried, they had to be concerned with maybe the possibility the Eidim actually came. And therefore that 30th day was determined and established to be Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, it's possible, they don't know one way or the other, maybe the Eidim didn't come on the 30th day and the 31st day became Rosh Hashanah. So in that situation, we have what's called a Safek. We don't know which day is Rosh Hashanah, whether it's the 30th day of Elul or the 31st. And therefore, he's going to have to observe both those days, B'Kedushas Hayom and B'Isur Melacha, worrying about the possibility that both days are Rosh Hashanah. Now, our Mishnah is addressing the following question. When he observes 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and he does so because of the Safek, do we consider that Shtei Kedushos, which means that there's no connection between the first day and the second day? Each day is a Safek Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, if we consider it as two Kedushos, then he has the advantage that if, for example, on the 30th day of El, which might be Rosh Hashanah, he has to go towards the east, and on the 31st day he's called towards the west, he has a Nebuch Nicham Avelim or Bikur Cholim on the west side, so he could set up two different Erevin. Why? Because the Erev for the 30th day might be an Erev, and if it might be Yontif, it might be Rosh Hashanah, the Edom came. So on that 30th day, which in fact is Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't know it, but it might be Rosh Hashanah, he now has set up his Erev towards the east. On the second day, the 31st, he has a right to say, well, if today is Rosh Hashanah, then yesterday was not Rosh Hashanah. So now I'm setting up a new Erev, and this Erev could be towards the west, in the opposite direction. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rosh Hashanah Shehayah Yorei Shematis Aber, he doesn't know, one way or the other, whether the month of El would be Me'ubar, which is another way of saying Mole, it's a pregnant, meaning it has 30 full days. And therefore, the next day, which would be 31, is Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. And on the other hand, he doesn't know, perhaps the Edim came today on the 30th day. And it's not a Chodesh Me'ubar. And the 30th day is Rosh Hashanah. Because Chodesh El is Chaser. It only has 29 days. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'arev Adam Shnei Erevin. He's allowed to set up two different Erevin. On the first day, he sets up an Erev to the east. On the second day, he sets up an Erev to the west. V'omer, and he makes the following declaration. Eruve Barishon Lamizrach Ubisheni Lamarov. Or alternatively, Barishon Lamarov Ubisheni Lamizrach. Two separate independent Erevin. One of the two Erevin is necessary, the other is not necessary at all. He has no clue which day is really Rosh Hashanah. And that's fine. Now suppose only on one of these two days he is called to go, let's say 4,000 Amah, meaning another 2,000 Amah outside. On the other day, he would like to remain within the city, or 2,000 Amah around the city. So he declares a Ruve Berishon. He sets up an Erev for the first day. B'sheni Kibnei Iri. He could declare that on the second day, I am not bound by the restrictions of the Erev that I made yesterday, because today is a separate day, Shtei Kedushos, and I want to be part of my city, have the regular din of Tchum of 2,000 Amah in each direction. Or the reverse, Eruve B'sheni Barishon Kibnei Iri. He can make a declaration that on the first day of these 2 days, day 30 of Elul, I want to be like the members of my city, have 2,000 Amah around the city limits. And tomorrow, on day 31, I'd like to have an Eruv towards the east. And all this is because the entire enterprise of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, says Rabbi Yehuda, is all suffix. He doesn't know which day is the real day of Rosh Hashanah. That's called Shtei Kedushas. There's no one continuous Kedusha of 48 hours. But V'lohodu lo Chachamim, the Chacham rejected it. The Chachamim say, no. That when he observes 2 days Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, it's not two separate days, one of which is Vadi, the other is, one of which is Safek, and the other is Safek. And really, in truth, only one of those 2 days is Rosh Hashanah. No. He's going to observe both days as what's called Kedusha Achas. The 48 hours, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, merge into one entity. And therefore, forget about Rabbi Yehuda. There's no way he could set up two different Erevim for two different days, because it's all one day, one Kedusha. And it's like a person who would say, well, on the first half of the day, I'd like an Erev towards the east, I'm setting up a second Erev for this latter half of the day on the west. That doesn't go. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, is going to give us another din regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is also a din that expresses his opinion of Shtei Kedushos. This second din has to do with peros, with grains and fruits from which there was no afroshes meiser, or trumas of meisers, which means they're devil. and they are he's enjoined from eating them until he's mafresh trumas and maisus. Chachamim say he's not allowed to be mafresh on Shabbos or Yontif. And that's a sugi at the end of Masechta Beitza. V'yodam Rab Yehuda, masna odam ala kalkola, kalkola is a basket, v'yontov rishon, v'yochle b'sheni. A person can set up a tanai. He can say the following, that I don't know if today, meaning day 30, the first of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, I don't know if it's yontif or not. So I'm going to be mafrish, trumas and maisras, and I'm going to say the following, look, if in truth Bezdin has already accepted Edim, and today, day 30, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the real Rosh Hashanah, then my afresh is null and void. It's nothing. If, on the other hand, the Edom don't come, Bezdin is going to postpone Rosh Hashanah till day 31, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be Rosh Hashanah, then my afresh today should be Chal. And tomorrow, on the second day, he takes the same basket of fruits, once again he does afresh, and he says the following, if yesterday was the true day of Kodesh, then what I did yesterday was null and void, and today's afrosh is afrosh of Chol, and let it be valid. If, on the other hand, yesterday was Chol, then yesterday's afrosh is valid and active, and today what I'm doing is nothing. And then on the second day, V'yochla, and he eats the peros in this basket on the second day, meaning on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and whatever truma he has to deliver to the Kohen, he'll take care of that after Rosh Hashanah. But this is Rabbi Yehuda Lishitaso, because Rabbi Yehuda is holding that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, two different kedushos, it's a suffix. And therefore, he can set up this tanai that no matter how you slice the cake, by the time he gets to the afrosh of the second day, it's certainly valid. We don't know which of the two afroshes are valid, whether it's yesterday or today, but one of them for sure is valid. V'chein beitza shenol to be on Rishon, Teyachal b'sheni. If the hen lays an egg on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, on that day he's not allowed to eat it because it might be Rosh Hashanah, and that's called nolad. And at the beginning of Masechta Beitza, the Mishnah establishes that a beitza that's hatched, that's laid on this day of Yontif, is nolad. It's a kind of a mukta halacha, but nevertheless teyachal b'sheni. He's allowed to eat this egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because since each day is a suffix, then he says the following. Either yesterday was Yontif and today's Chol, so for sure I can eat the egg. And even if I'm going to say that today is Yontif and yesterday was Chol, so then it's not Nolad. Why? Because it was born on Chol. And Chol is Mechin L'Yontif. And the Chachom rejected both of these dinim. They hold that you're not allowed to be mafresh truma on 2 days of Yontif, of Rosh Hashanah, because it's all one Kedusha, one continuous Kedusha. Nor are you allowed to eat the egg on the second day of Yontif, of Rosh Hashanah, that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now the Mishnah applies the principle of Rabbi Yehuda of Sveika to the issue of Rosh Chodesh. Which day is actually Rosh Chodesh? So Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Omer, and he's addressing the case of the Shliach Tzibur over Lifnei Ateva B'Yontif. So now he's davening for the Amud on 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. B'Yontov Shel Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now we don't know which of these 2 days is actually Rosh Chodesh, is the first day of Tishrei. And therefore, says Rabbi Dosa, Mitzad HaSofek, he's going to have to mention Rosh Chodesh on both days and make a tanai. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, he declares Hechli Tzedi, which means Hashem, give me strength. Hashem Elokeinu es Yom Rosh Chodesh Hazeh. Im Hayom, meaning if today is Rosh Chodesh, or Im LeMachar, but on the possibility that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, then this Hechli Tzedi is the introduction that should be delayed or suspended until tomorrow. L'macha, on the second day, Omer, he says the same thing. Im ayom, either today is Rosh Chodesh Achlitzeni ayom b'Rosh Chodesh Hazeh. Im emesh, if yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, then Achlitzeni of yesterday was a valid tefillah. V'lo hodu lo chachomim, Once again, the Chacham rejected this. They hold that you're not allowed to mention Rosh Chodesh in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah in this way, with this kind of a suffix. And the Gemara is going to get into a whole discussion about the reasoning for this and why the Chacham rejected, but we'll just understand it, Kipshuta, on a simple level, that we don't want to make a declaration of Tanai, because we're going to observe both days of Rosh Hashanah as one Kiddusha. The Gemara says, Man lo hodu lo. Can we identify which of the Chachamim, the Mishnah is very anonymous, which of the Chachamim, if we can only identify him, rejected Rabbi Yehuda, Amarav Rabbi Yossi? The Chachamim in our Mishnah are none other than Rabbi Yossi. And now, Rav is going to quote a Braisa, and based on this Braisa, he's going to prove that Rabbi Yossi holds what we call Kedusha Achas, and he rejects Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya, we learned to the Braisa, Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Eliezer. Oh. So now we have to go back and remind ourselves of the Mishnah that we learned yesterday on Daf Lamed Ches. And the Mishnah there quotes Rabbi Eliezer. And again, the case over there was not Rosh Hashanah, but rather it was a case of a Yontif, one of the three regalim that fell on a Friday or on a Sunday. So you had 48 hours of consecutive Kedusha, of Kedusha Sayyom. And Rabbi Eliezer says you have a separate Eruv to two different ruchos, two different directions for each day, the Yontif and the Shabbos. And the Chachamim rejected Rabbi Eliezer. They hold that there's a halacha called Kedusha Achas. When you have 48 hours of straight Kedusha, it's one Kedusha, and you have to set up one Eruv for both of those days. And now the Braisa says, Modim Chacham Rabbi Eliezer Rosh Hashanah. Although in a case where we know definitely that these two 24-hour periods that are contiguous, that are consecutive, are endowed with Kedusha Sayom, then they're going to apply the principle of Kedusha Achas. But in the case of Rosh Hashanah, they agree that Rabbi Eliezer's approach, which is called Shtei Kedushos, is absolutely, absolutely correct. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah, Yorei Shemet Tisaber, he's only afraid on the 30th day that maybe tomorrow will be established as Rosh Chodesh, meaning as Rosh Hashanah, maybe today, is Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Erev. The Chacham agreed to what we saw in Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah, that he's going to set two Erevin for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The Old Marini declares, Eruvei Barishon LeMizrach uBesheni LeMara. My Erev on the first day is towards the east, second day towards the west, or in the reverse, by Yom HaRishon LeMarav, B'Shein LeMizrach, or B'Rishon U'B'Sheni K'Bnei Iri. I want to, on both days of Rosh Hashanah, be like the members of my city, get the 2,000 Am around the outskirts of the city, K'Bnei Iri. Or Eruvi B'Sheni U'B'Rishon K'Bnei Iri. On the first day, I will be like the members of my city. On the second day, I'll set up this Eruv. And the reason why the Chacham and Rosh Hashanah agree and validate this kind of 2 days of Eruvin, two separate Eruvin, is because they hold that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah certainly are two Kedushas. Because that's what we intuitively would say. Each day is a Suffolk. And only one of the 2 days is the real Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah, if you want to call it. But in the case of Shabbos and Yontif, there's no suffix about the Kedusha, and since there are 48 hours of consecutive Kedusha, therefore Kedusha Achas. Rabbi Yossi Oser. Rabbi Yossi says you cannot set up two Erevin in two different directions for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, meaning that Rabbi Yossi holds that not only in the case of Yontif and Shabbos of 48 hours of consecutive Kedusha Yom do I hold, like the Chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer, that it's Kedusha Achas, but even in the case of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to apply the principle of Kedusha Achas. And now we can go back, says Rav, to our Mishnah. We can identify the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yudin and Mishnah, and they invalidate two separate Erevin on two days of Rosh Hashanah. That is none other than Rabbi Yossi, because he holds that the halach of Kedusha Achas applies not only to Shabbos and Yontif, but also to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is counterintuitive, because you and I would have said that the only reason he's observing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is because of the suffix. So the whole concept of Kedusha Achas, which is Rabbi Yossi's view with regard to Rosh Hashanah, is very peculiar, to say the least. And we're going to try to explain Rabbi Yossi as we go along. Why would we say Kedusha Achas with regard to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Now, by way of introduction, let's mention a Mishnah towards the end of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, one time it happened that what's called Niskalkalu Halevim Bashir, which means that it was Rosh Hashanah, but the Edom came very late in the day. And during the course of the morning, when no Edom were there, nobody anticipated that the Edom were going to come late in the day. So the Levim, when they accompanied the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, the afternoon Tamid, with their song, they sang the Shir of Chol. Then the Edom showed up, and Beis Din sanctified that day as Rosh Hashanah. And it turns out, retroactively, it became clear that they, the Levim, had sung the wrong song. It wasn't the Shir Shel Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, but rather it was the Shir Shel Chol, because the Edom hadn't come until the afternoon. So Chachamim made a takana. And the takana was that if Edom don't come before the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, let's say the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is brought at 12:30 in the afternoon, midday, and guess what? There are no Edom. They made a takana that if Edom comes subsequent to the Hakrovas Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, we will not accept the Edom, and we'll push Rosh Hashanah off by a day, which is, by the way, on a philosophical level, it's very fascinating, because up in Shomayim, they already set up the benches for the court, for the heavenly court, to judge the people. Every person goes by the court. But now, since Beis Din made a takana, we're not accepting these Eidim, we're going to push off Rosh Hashanah until tomorrow. So they had to fold up all, the Medrash says they had to fold up all the benches, and they had to reorganize it. The angels had to reorganize it on the second day. Anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the Beis Din. The authority is invested in Beis Din to decide what day is Rosh Hashanah. And they decided that if the Edom don't show up by 12:30 noon, HaKrovas HaTamid Shel Bein Arbayim, we're not going to accept the Edom at all. And we're going to postpone Rosh Hashanah till tomorrow. Nevertheless, and here's the punchline, they continued to be Noeh Kedusha Sayantif until the end of that day and into the next day. Imagine, Beis Din is not accepting the Edom. They have made a decision that they are postponing Rosh Hashanah until tomorrow, till the 31st day. Nevertheless, they had started the 30th day, the people of Israel, observing Yontif, because they didn't know when the Edom were, if the Edom would come. Comes 12:30 noon, and the Jews say to Beis Din, hey, now we can do Malacha, let's turn on our electricity, whatever it is that they wanted to do. And Beis Din says, no, you have to observe this day as Yontif. Says Rabbi Yossi, you know what? Once Beis Din determined that, at least on that occasion, or those kind of occasions that occurred, that they would postpone Rosh Hashanah till tomorrow, but yet they would continue to observe Yontif on the first day, they established the first day as the beginning of the Kedusha Sayom that would continue and spill into the next day, and it's one Kedusha of 48 hours. And that's called Rabbi Yosef's Kedusha Achas with regard to Rosh Hashanah. It's only based on the fact that, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, in his Kalkul Alevia Bashir, Beis Din decided that if the Edom don't come before the afternoon, then we will postpone Rosh Hashanah until tomorrow, but yet we will continue to observe the day, that first day of Rosh Hashanah, until the end of the day, as if it were Rosh Hashanah. They were establishing a brand new takana, enacting a Kedusha Sayom, and that Kedusha Sayom is the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. It's not based on suffix. We know for sure that today is not Rosh Hashanah. So the whole business of Shtei Kedushas, which is based on a suffix, falls by the wayside. And now Rabbi Yossi is going to prove to the Chachamim that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are Kiddush Achas. Amalem Rabbi Yossi, Iatem modim she'im bo eidim in a minchul amal shenogim osayom kodesh l'machor kodesh. Don't you agree that if the eidim didn't come to testify about the Levana, about the moon, until after mincha time, nevertheless we're going to observe that day as Rosh Hashanah with a Kiddush Sayom, and we're not going to accept any eidim, and we're not going to be Makadish that day, but rather we're going to be Makadish the second day. You can't deny that. That's a mission at the end of Rosh Hashanah. And you see from that that the Kedusha of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is based on a Takonis Chachamim to be knowing on these 2 days, even though we know that it's the second day that's going to be sanctified, as if the first day was sanctified. And that Kedusha is not a Kedusha Safek, but a Kedusha Vadai. And therefore, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are Kedusha Achas. And here we turn to Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis for Rabbanon. And the Chacham who say that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two Kedushos, and it's basically a Safek, which day is endowed with the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. Hasam, you'll ask me, why did they make that Takana, that they will continue to observe the first day as if it were Rosh Hashanah? That's for a different reason. Ki Echi Delo Lezal Zulebe. We're afraid that next year, people will think that, you know what, that day 30, that's not even a suffix. We saw last year that they observed Rosh Hashanah only on the second day, on the 31st day. So in order to avoid such a pitfall, that people should not think that the first day is not really Yontif, and we don't have to observe Kiddushah on the first day, when in truth there's a real bona fide suffix that maybe the first day, the 30th day, is Rosh Hashanah. Therefore they observed Rosh Hashanah on the 30th day, the first of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but not because that day is a definite Kiddusha unto itself to kick off the 48 hours of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah Kiddusha Achas, but rather they observed that first day as Safek, and even though they no longer had the Safek because they decided the Eidim didn't come on time, and they postponed Kiddush HaChodesh until the next day, nevertheless, they observed that day as if it were a day of Kiddush HaYom of Yisra Malach, but only Kiddush Shalom Zal Zuleib. Now the Mishnah says, V'od Omer Rabbi Yehuda, a person can make a Tanai on his basket with regard to being Mafrish Masros Minatevel. So the Gemara now wants to know, why did Rabbi Yehuda feel compelled to teach me all these different dinim? Number one, Erev Tchumen, that he could set up two different Erevim for the two different days, one to the east and one to the west. Number two, that he could be Mafrish, Truma, Meiser, Minakalkol, Shalperis on both the first day and the second day. And number three, that a Beitza that was laid on the first day is Muteres on the second day. Utsricha. Rabbi Yehuda had to teach me all these three dinim. The Iash Me'inon, Rosh Hashanah, if he would have only told me the din of Erev Tchumen on Rosh Hashanah, we would have made a mistake and said, Dafka behakam Rabbi Yehuda. Here's where Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shnei Yomim are Shtei Kedushos, and you can set up an Erev in on these 2 days, each day in a separate direction. Mishum, the low covid midi. Because on the day of Yontif itself, he's not doing anything. No one's going to suspect him of having violated Yontif when he goes out and he sets up an Eruv. Avol, but in the case of Afrashas Truma, in the case of Kalkol Shel Peros, which are Tevel, and he sets up Afrash Al Tanai, Mefsek Himesakin Tivla, it looks like he's violating the Isra of Afrash on Yontif. He's actively implementing an action of Afrash on Yontif, and the spectator thinks that he's violating Yontif. Is Ema Modulei L'Rabbanon? Maybe in this case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to say, you know what, I concede to you, Chacham, you're not allowed to be mafresh even through a Tanai, because the onlooker, the spectator, is going to suspect him of violating Yontiv. The Iashminin Ani Tarte, and if Rabbi Yehuda told me both these dinim, the din of Erev Tchumen, and the din of Afrashas Trumas and Maisras, I would have said that's where he was making El Mishum Delek El Migzar Alayim. There's no gzera that he might come to violate a more serious Isr, Avol Beitza. The Ekel in Migzar Bay, we have a serious Gzera that he might come to violate an Isur Da'oraisa even, and that's because of Mishum Peros Hanoshrim. So for this Peres HaNoshrim, which means fruits that fell off the tree on Yontiv, we have to introduce the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Beitza. And the Gemara says at the beginning of Masechta Beitza that if an egg is laid on Yontif, we consider it, again, you have to have a pretty broad imagination, we consider it as if a fruit had fallen down from the tree on Yontif. Now, if a fruit falls down on Yontif, you're not allowed to eat it. Why not? And the answer is because of Shema Yavali de Tlisha. Because if you're eating fruits that fell from the tree, then you might be tempted to grab a fruit from the tree that's still attached, and then you'd be violating the Issur Ktzir of reaping, and you now, in effect, have violated an Issur Doraisa. And that's one opinion in the Gemara Beitza. So again, according to one opinion in the Gemara Beitza, the reason why they made Xera on a Beitza Shenolda B'yantiv is because it could be confused with Peros HaNoshim in a Ilan, and then it becomes jacked up to a very serious Xera because of the possibility that maybe lest he would come to Tlisha by grabbing a fruit from the tree. There's another opinion at the beginning of Beitza, and that opinion says that the reason why they prohibited a Beitza Shenolda is Mishumashkim Shezov. What happens? You have fruits that are sitting around, let's say in a basket, and the juices from the fruit start coming out. Me'aleihem. In other words, he doesn't squeeze them. But the Rabbanan are afraid that if we allow him to drink this juice that came out on Yontif, he may inadvertently come to squeezing fruits on Yontif. And again, that would be a violation of Meleches Schita, which is a Toldo Meleches Disha, and Disha is prohibited on Yontif, because on Yontif, we only allow Melechos Mi Lisha Vielach, from kneading, with a K, kneading and on, but not Disha, which is earlier. Is therefore, in the case of Beitza Shenolda, where no matter how you slice the cake, there's a gzera otu a doraisa. If we call it a gzera mishum perish and oshim in a ilan, we're afraid of meleches tlisha. And if we classify it as mashkim shezavu me'aleya min aperos, then it's a gzera otu meleches disha, schita. Here, Rabbi Yehuda will be moda. We're not going to mess around with a beitza shenolda b'yontif. Ema modulei l'rabbanim, we would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda concedes that the Rabbanan are right, and we should institute this gzera, and we should prohibit the beitza on both days of Rosh Hashanah. Is tricha, therefore I need the Mishnah to teach me, no, that even in this third din, Rabbi Yehuda is making. Now, let me just add a note over here. Why should there be an Isur on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Yesh lesser b'yom hasheni perush enoshu mashkin shezovu b'yom rishon. What's going on over here? The peros came down from the tree yesterday, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, or mashkin shezovu on the first day. And we're afraid of tlisha and schita. That makes sense for the first day. But what about the second day? So the Sfasemis says that if we're going to be making on the second day, then he considers it as if it was the first day. And next year, for example, he might make this mistake with Peros Shenoshu B'nei Ilan, etc., etc. Now, there's an entirely different mahalach here in this sugya, which is attributed to Rabbi Kiveger. And that is that the issue here about Beitza Shenolda is only a mukta issue. And a mukta issue. And Shana Rabbi Yehuda Sadin Bebeitza Kdei Shashmin She'ein Mukta Machmas Yom She'avar. So this has to do with Aloch of Mukta Machmas Yom She'avar. I'm just mentioning it in passing, it's not for us now. Tanya, we have a Brisa Kate side. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Masna Adam Al Kalkola Biyontav Rishon Yochel B'Sheni. What is the Tanai that allows me to be Mafrish, Trumas and Maestris in the case of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, this brisa that we're about to learn is more or less identical conceptually with the brisa that we've learned until now. However, there's one difference. It says, "Masta adam al kalkol biyom tov rishon viochla b'sheni." Now, this brisa does not reformulate Rabbi Yehuda in a very new, radical way. And what we're learning so far in the brisa is just a repeat, but it's an introduction to the next part. Because this part of the brisa is referring to 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The next part of the brisa, as we'll soon see, is going to refer to 2 days of Yontif, whether it's Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkot, in Chutz Laretz. And what's the relationship between the 2 days of Yontif? So, as far as the first part of this brisa is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda says that with regard to Rosh Hashanah, we have a suffix, we don't know which day is actually Yontif, so he can make it Tanai, and he'll say that either this Hafrosh is Chal today, or the Hafrosh that I'll do tomorrow will be Chal, and that's the way Rabbi Yehuda has it. Rabbi Yossi holds that you can't be Mafresh on 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even with this Tanai, because he holds that 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, as we said before, are Kedusha Achas. It's B'toras Vad. Okay, that's the first part of this brisa, and that's Rosh Hashanah and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the brisa addresses 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Laretz on any of the three regalim. Are these 2 days Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushas? V'chein haraya Rabbi Yossi Oser b'shnei yomim tovim shel Golios. It means that in Chutz Laretz, that same din that Rabbi Yossi maintains l'chumra on 2 days of Rosh Hashanah applies to the 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Laretz, which means that in Chutz Laretz we didn't know whether the case of Pesach. I mean, we could have chosen any of the three regal, but let's say we take Pesach. So they're not sure whether or not Chodesh Adar was Mole or Chaser. And the nafkamina is going to be the 15th day of Nisan. Is that which day is actually Pesach? So we're going to have to be knowing 2 days of Pesach l'chumra. So the background to 2 days of Yontif and Chutzot is called Sveika Diyom. We don't know which of these 2 days is really Yontif. Rabbi Yossi holds that even though the Kedusha of these 2 days is because of Safek, and really in truth only one of these 2 days is Yontif, the other is Chol, nevertheless, we're going to consider it as if it were one Kedusha, and we're not going to allow a Hafroshes Maser al Tanai. And that's how the brisa concludes, that basically Rabbi Yossi holds Kedusha Achas, not only on Rosh Hashanah, but even on Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. And once the brisa was quoted about Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, the Gemara continues on this vein, and wants to know about two Kedushas on Yontif in the case of an animal that was trapped and captured on the first day of Yontif. On that day of Yontif, you certainly cannot eat the animal because the tzeda took place, let's say a guy captured the animal on Yontif. And anything that was huchshel achila b'yontif, and not before Yontif, is Asur. But if this animal was captured on the first day of Yom Tov, are we allowed to eat it on the second day of Yom Tov? Ahu Bar Tavya. Bar Tavya is a kind of a deer, what we call venison. The Asel Beresh Galusa. The Itzdid B'Yontav Rishon Shel Golis. According to this version, the Gemara is going to offer later on a second version of what exactly happened in this case. This version has it that the guy trapped an animal, in this case a deer, which is called Bar Tavya, on Yontav Rishon Shel Golis. So on that day, you're not allowed to shecht it. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to eat it. The Ishrit. And when did they shecht it? B'yontif sheni. They waited till the next day. Again, it was captured alive, obviously. They shechted it on the second day of Yontif. And now they're sitting down to a meal. Who's sitting down to the meal? I wish I could have been invited. It was Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, and Rav Sheshes. This is the hoi polloi of Torah Judaism. So Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, Ochlu. They ate the meat that was shechted on the second day of Yontif, because they held that the whole din of Yontif Sheni Shel Golias is Safek, and therefore, no matter what, no matter which way you slice it, Mimonafshach, you're allowed to eat this meat. Why? Because if yesterday was Yontif, today is Chol, and for sure we could eat the meat. And if yesterday was Chol, then Chol could be Mechin for Yontif. Rav Sheshes Loach, Ez Givezen Afrumer, and he didn't want to eat, because he held that the 2 days in Yontif Sheni Shel Golias have Kiddush Achas. Amar Rav Nachman, my Evet Leila Rav Sheshes, the Lo'achel Bisra de Tavya. What can I do with this fellow Rav Sheshes who refuses to eat from this basar? He should not have refused, because the 2 days of Yontif Sheni Shel Golias are two different Kiddushos Machmas Sofek. Amar Leila Rav Sheshes Vehechi Eichel, how could I possibly eat from this meat on the second day of Yontif, that was captured on the first day of Yontif, the Tani Isi? I'd be violating a brisa of Isi. Isi is another way of saying Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi in the brisa says that you're not allowed to set up a Tanai on Tevel on Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Golios, because it's Kedush Achas, and therefore I don't want to eat from this meat. The Amri Le. Another girsa had it there. Rav Sheshes said, in a rhetorical question, "Isi tani v'cheno Rav Yossi omer b'shnei yom tov shel golios? Can I eat from this meat when Rav Yossi has considered?" He prohibited making a Tanai on Afrosh because he considers the two Yom Tovim to be Kiddush Achas. So the Gemara thinks now that Rav Sheshes has no proof from Rav Yossi in the Braisa. Omer Rav Amai Kusha. What proof does he have from Rav Yossi that the 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Laretz are Kiddush Achas? Dilma Hachi Komar. Perhaps this is what Rav Yossi meant to say regarding 2 days of Yontif. That v'chein haya Rav Yossi omer oser b'shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah bagola. So it wasn't that Rav Yossi was machmir, what we call kedush achas in Chutz Laretz on Yontif Sheni, but rather he was referring to shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. So why did he add the word bagola, which we thought meant that he was referring to two yomim tovim, 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Laretz? No. What he meant by adding the word Bagola is that even in Chutz Laretz, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered Kiddush Achas. Just like in Eretz Yisrael, it's Kiddush Achas, because we had that scenario where the Edom came min HaMincha L'mayla in the afternoon. We're going to establish now Kiddush Achas even in Chutz Laretz, but only again for Rosh Hashanah. As far as Shnei Yom Tov Shel Golias, Rava argues that even Rav Yossi agrees that it's Shnei Kiddushos. And therefore, Rav Sheshes has no proof. So the Gemara asks, "Hachi shel Golios begola mi boile." If you're right, Rava, and Rav Yossi was referring to Rosh Hashanah, then he should have used the word "bagola" in the singular Instead, he says ba golios, or shel golios. The word shel golios implies that we're talking about regular yontif sheni shel golios. Amar Ravasi umay kusha. Don't ask a question for the word shel golios. Dilma hachikomer. This is what the brisa means. V'chein oyo Rabbi Yosi ose iser shnei yomim tovim shel golios. Kishnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah lirabbanan disharu. So the V'chein now is explaining why Rabbi Yosi is matir yontif sheni shel golios. He's mekil and he holds that it's two kedushos. And has the same status as Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rabbanon, who hold that the Kedusha of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two Kedushos, and those rabbis, like we saw Rabbi Yehuda, who are Mekil, and the Matit to be said in Erev in two different places, it's two Kedushos, Rabbi Yossi is Moda, that in Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, it has the same status as 2 days of Yontif and Rosh Hashanah, according to that sheet of the Rabbanon, who maintain Shtei Kedushos and allow two Erevin. Ashkechei Rav Sheshes L'Rabba Bar Shmuel V'Amarlei Tani Mar Midi B'Kedushos. Rav Sheshes met Rabba, and he said, did you hear anything in your travels? Maybe you can transmit some brisa that you heard about the status of two Yom and Tov Shel Golios as Kedush Achas, or Shtei Kedushos. Amarlei. So Rabba responds to Rav Sheshes, Tnina, I learned in a brisa, Moda Rav Yossi, B'Shnei Yom Tom Shel Golios. That really, we have an explicit brisa that Rav Yossi is Moda to the Chachamim, that Shnei Yom Tom Shel Golios are two Kedushos. Amal Leis, Rav Sheshes pleads with him, Imish Kachas Lehu, if you meet Rav Nachman or Rav Chizda in the street, Lo Temalu, Lo Midi, please don't tell them that this brisa, because this brisa proves that even Rav Yossi holds that Shnei Yomim Tovim in Chutzah, it's a Shtei Kedushos, and if I should have eaten from the deer on the second day. Now, if a guy brings something for a Jew from Chutzah T'chum on Yontif, then the Jew is not allowed to eat it, because he's benefiting from a kind of a malach that was done on his behalf. Other Jews are allowed to eat it. In other words, it was brought for Reuven, Shimon is allowed to eat it. And that's, again, a sugya in Masechta Beitzah. Omar Rav Ashi, Lididi, Amaliyah Meimar. In other words, Amemar told me the following. Hahu Bar Tavio, that story about the deer with Rav Chizda and Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, it was not a case where the deer was captured on the first day of Yontif, but rather, because the truth is that if the deer was captured on the first day of Yontif, then everyone would agree, and even Rav Sheshes would have no hesitation, that you could shecht it on the second day of Yontif, and you could eat the meat because it's Shtei Kedushos. But what was the story? It was a totally different story. And here we turn to Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Ela michutz l'tchum asa. The guy brought the animal on Yontif from chutz l'tchum. And the Chachamim argued about whether you're allowed to eat from this animal on that very day. This has nothing to do with 2 days of Yontif. Mandi Ochal, according to Rav Nachman and Rav Chizda, that ate from the meat, Savar, they were of the opinion, Abba Bishvil Yisrael Zem, Mutal Yisrael Acher. In other words, the guy didn't bring it for them, meaning for, on behalf of Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, Rav Sheshes, he brought it on behalf of the Reish Galusa. He wanted to be Mechavi, the Reish Galusa. And he brought this beautiful deer that he found Chutz L'Tchum, and he brought it in to the Tchum and presented it to the Reish Galusa. We have no problem eating from it. Umad lo achal, why did Rav Sheshes hesitate from eating it? Savar called the Asi Lebei Reish Galusa, died to the Kula Rabban and Asi. The Reish Galusa's table was known to host all the Chachamim. They used to gravitate towards the table. They were invited to the table, the Reish Galusa. When the guy brings this animal from Chutz L'Tchum, he has in mind not just the Reish Galusa, Rabbi Reish Galusa, but he has in mind all the Rabbanim who are sitting around at the table, the Reish Galusa. And therefore, it's as if they were the beneficiaries of this Chutz L'Tchum, Havami Chutz L'Tchum, bringing it Chutz L'Tchum. So the Gemara asks on a kash on Amemar's version of this story. We have a whole story where Rav Sheshes, after the Maisa with the Tzvi, he met Rabba and he asked him if he had any Braisa, and Rabba told him he had a Braisa that told him that Shnei Yom Tom Shel Goliel, even according to Rav Yossi, is Shtei Kiddushos. And Rav Sheshes got all flustered and he said to Rabba, don't reveal the secret over here. So the Gemara answers that according to Amemar, Lo Hoya Dvar Me'olam, this whole story about Rav Sheshes, who asked Rabba Bar Shmuel if he had a brisa about Shnei Yom Tom Shel Goliath, that never happened. So let's see, we have another 2 minutes, we'll just try to finish up. Hahu Lifta, the Asi Limachoma, Limachosa. Limachosa is the name of a city, and a guy brought in a Lifta, Lefes, which, what's a lefis called in a turnip, if I remember correctly. Nofak Rava Chazie Dichmisha. Rava took a look and he saw that this lefis was novellus. No, Kmisha means it was like disintegrating already. So Shara Rava Lemizve Mine. Rava allowed the people of Mechoza to purchase it and to eat it on that day. On that yontif, Amar, and he declared, why am I being so lenient? After all, this lefes was taken by the guy from Chutz Le'ir. Davadai mi ismol nekra. There's no question in my mind, I can look at the lefes and determine that this lefes was uprooted from the karka before yontif. Though there was no malach that was done on Yontif itself. I could see from the age, you know, I could do a carbon aging of this lefis, and I see that it was taken out of the ground already a day before Yontif. And therefore there's no Isur Muktzah. Umay Amrit, but you'll ask me, how could I be matir mechutz l'tchum asya? The lefis was brought from chutz l'tchum on Yontif, and the Chacham say that anything that was brought from chutz l'tchum on Yontif, you're not allowed to eat. So the answer is, Habavishvil Yisrael Zem Mutalechel Yisrael Acher. In other words, the guy who's bringing a lefes, he wants to sell it on the open market. He has no specific Jew in mind. He's not trying to benefit, you know, Yankel Beryl. And therefore, Mutar Li Yisrael Acher, Vakolshkin Hai, the Adaiti, the Nochmimos. So not only that, but the Shuk, the marketplace, is made up of not only Jews, it's also made up of Goyim. And the potential clients here to purchase the lefes are not only Jews, they're goyim. It's came of the chaza to kamafshi umaisilu. You know, he saw that there were a lot of goyim. This is what Rava saw, a lot of goyim that are coming, you know, and bringing all these turnips, these leftovers from chutz l'tchum. He understood that they're bringing it, why are the goyim doing this? So now the Gemara, and this is the end of the sugya for today, the Gemara is saying that Rava retracted his original position. Why? Came under Chaza, when Rava became aware to call Mafshi Umaisilu, that there are a lot of Nachrim going out there, bringing masses, amount, volumes of liftos from outside of the Chum, he began to understand that they were bringing it not for the Goyim, who are purchasing it, but also for the Jews. Now, there wasn't enough of a population of the Goyim that would justify bringing such massive volumes of leftos. And therefore, Vyasaluhu, and he says, don't buy it from them. Why? Because then it becomes halacha of Nachri bringing for Yisrael Michutz L'Tchum, and it's Asur for anyone. So if, again, even though the guy didn't have in mind one specific Jew, Yankel Beryl, but since he's selling it on the market, he's hoping that Yankel Beryl will buy it, and therefore he brings the chutz l'tchum with Yankel Beryl in mind, and therefore we're not allowed to eat it on Yontif. So let's just make a note of where we got up to for today. The two dots here on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, which is about, I would say, maybe 14 lines down from the top. Hanu B'nei Gnoza. And that's where Mr. Shem will pick it up tomorrow.